For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A high pop-up. He's going to do it at shortstop. Jeter on the outfield grass makes the catch. The Yankees win. And Doc Gooden pitches a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 11:02 back on The Fan. It's BT and Sal. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata on this Monday holiday week. So, by the way, I thought that there would be light traffic today. I got crushed.
Did you really?
Yes.
I had no issues this morning.
But you don't drive all the way in, right?
You're talking about you get crushed.
Hey,
dude.
I know.
No, but I'm saying that's when you hit your traffic. I'm assuming when you get to the city.
Yeah, builds up. 280's good, provided you know when to cut people and do that. You know, I told you. And then, you know, but once you get to the Holland Tunnel, it's usually a mess, which is fine. But, you know, an hour.
And
you know,
today was even worse than normal?
Yeah. You know how you just certain days you expect it to be light?
Yeah, right.
It wasn't light today.
This whole week you'd expect it to be light.
Yeah, you would think. Certainly tomorrow. And then we're going to work on Wednesday. Then we're off for a couple days. And obviously, before you know it, Sal, you know, those Jets and Giants get ready to hit the training camp. And before we get there, we got to take a little stock of these Metsies. We'll get to the Yankees after. All right, so 81 games in, officially halfway home. And they have, I mean, they've had one of the strangest seasons of any baseball team in a long time. Because they went from looking so inept and without hope, literally, to start the season. I mean, we weren't around for the 62 Mets. The 62 Mets couldn't have looked a lot worse than the 2024 Mets looked to start the season at 0-5. Wow. And then when they dropped below the 11 games below 500, and then this resurgence and grimace and parties on. So usually you're never as bad as you look, never as good as you look. Answers generally somewhere in between, okay? Which is a good thing for Mets fans. Unless you want to make the playoffs. They're not a playoff team. They're not far from it, okay? This is not hate. This is believing in Stearns and the direction of the Mets. The light has turned on. Their faith in certain players has been rewarded. They have shown to be and proven to be, pardon me, very astute in some of their calculations. Players didn't perform well, get lost. Others maybe got too long of a leash. And here we are. They're starting to play better. They just have too many holes on the mound. Not that they won't make a trade or two. And I know Diaz is coming back, although we hurt him last couple of games. I hate to say it. Fall a little short of the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they're a playoff team. I feel confident in saying that. And whatever happened this weekend, you kind of expect it. I mean, what do you expect with the Mets going up against a good team with the Astros and their bullpen depleted? Now, they should have won 2 out of 3. To me, that's more encouraging than actually losing the series with the actual final result because the bullpen is going to get cleaned up. You're right, BT. Right now, is their bullpen a playoff bullpen? No, but look around the other teams that they're competing with. I feel great about the Mets' chances of being a wild card team, not only about them being a playoff team. Me, personally, I'm looking at Atlanta. I want the top wild card spot. That's all right there. The Mets played almost as bad as you could for a prolonged stretch during this first half of the season and are still within 5.5 games, whatever it is, 6 games of the Braves for the top wild card spot, just 2 games of the regular spot. I'm not looking at the standings as far as numbers how many games back. I'm looking at the way the Mets are playing. They're playing much better baseball. I believe the offense is legit and sustainable, and they're going to upgrade the pitching. Now, if they don't upgrade the pitching, they're not going to get to the playoffs. Like, and even if they do, they're not going to be worth any shot in the postseason. But assuming that they do upgrade the bullpen, which they have to, yeah, then I think they're going to be one of the better playoff teams in the National League.
See, I like one thing that you've done here. You've been very consistent with this. When they were playing awful, and just started to turn the corner, and, you know, some Met fans were kind of holding on to that little glimmer of hope with, well, they're only a couple of games out.
Yeah, never.
You always said, I don't care how many games they're out, I'm watching them play. And you're playing the same thing, and you're saying the same thing now, so I give you a lot of credit there. It's a consistent take.
Like, even the way that they lost over the weekend, they're in these games. They should have won these games.
Oh, like, no question.
Right, so, and you could say, well, could have, should have. Yeah, but assuming that their bullpen's not totally depleted where you have 18 minor leaguers in it, maybe they hold on to that one. So, yeah, it is about the way that they're playing.
Okay, so what about this, though? Because I think this is going to factor into whether or not the Mets are able to squeeze out that third wild card. And to me, I've always thought they would fall. Well, first, I thought they'd fall very short. I didn't even think it was an option. And, you know, and then obviously I reacted to how they were playing, and I'm starting to see some good signs that I think they'll still fall short. But they'll be in the mix up until the final week or so. I do believe that. But do you think, like, the philosophy of Stearns, I feel like at times it's shared by ownership, but not always. And understandably, because Stearns just got here, and Stevie's been the big fish for almost, you know, 4.5 years at this point. Wants to win. So do you think that if they're there in a position to make a big trade, that Cohen will flex upon Stearns and force him to do something that Stearns probably wouldn't want to do in terms of giving up players he values for the now?
No, I don't think so. I think
I'm not sure about that.
I wasn't sure initially. I think now, for me, it should be clear buyers, but I also think Cohen's going to let Stearns do what he needs to do. I would be surprised if Cohen got involved. How surprised would I be? I would be surprised if he got involved to a point where Stearns was doing something he didn't really want to do. Although, I mean, maybe he didn't really want to sign J.D. Martinez, and Cohen said, hey, you know what?
That's true.
And by the way, that's worked out to be the difference in the season.
But so that's only money. I think that's where Cohen's going to win. I mean, he's going to win if he wants to win. He's going to win. I mean, when it's time to flex, it's Cohen's show, and it's not Stearns, although you hope that Cohen lets him do his job. But I think that he will. Mm-hmm. But I just wonder, like, the temptation to do something that is maybe a little short-sighted, not necessarily reckless, but a little short-sighted that fundamentally Stearns does not buy, but has to acquiesce because it's Cohen's team.
The only concern that I have is the talk about them potentially half-weighing things at the deadline. Trade something to get some value back for something that's a valuable piece, but also still try to build a team that can win it.
Meaning the player they bring in would fit the future? With a couple of years to go, kind of move, you mean?
Yeah, and I don't know who that is, for example. I mean, let's say you trade Severino, you get some prospects back, but then you go make another move for a different arm.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Something, so you replenish the system. You might lose a few, but you gain a few.
Like half-weighing it. Trade some pieces that you think you could get something back.
I got you.
And also still try to make a run of it. I don't mess with the halfway stuff. You either do it or you don't. You want to sell? Fine. Then sell and rebuild. But
how do you justify selling now, though?
You can't do that now. But also, you can't do it because they talked about playoffs. Playoffs. And they've said, if we're in it, we are going to buy.
They did.
So they're going to be buyers. Like, that's just, it's my opinion, my educated guess. They will be buyers here. I just hope that they don't halfway it. Now, halfwaying it doesn't mean trade McNeil, Marte, Pete, or whatever pieces they deem aren't a part of the future, and just changing the look of this team. I don't think if you eliminate any of those guys, as long as you replace them, you're hurting their chance of making the postseason this year, including Pete, although he would be the biggest one.
I got you. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. So the Mets are right in it. They come a little short when it's all said and done. What does that mean for you? It means nothing for you. I mean, you don't care if I say it. I mean, you're watching this team play, and many of you will believe in what you say. You should. You should. I guess the other thing, though, and this would be a little worrisome. All right. I'm not worried about most of those teams in the mix. Right. And I remember even before you were saying it.
Yeah.
You're better than the Reds.
Right.
You're better than the Pirates. Better than the Nationals. But teams like maybe the Giants, maybe one or two others. Like, all right. Now, teams in big markets, they've got to satisfy their fan base. They've got to throw them a piece of meat as well. Like, I just, I wonder if it's down to two or three teams and there's a big, big move to make and the Mets get their intel and Giants are going to pounce on whomever or whatever. I still believe that Cohen is, he's foaming at the mouth to do something big. You don't get to where he's at with that bankroll and that portfolio and layout and be, conservative or slightly proactive. You have a chance, you go for it. And I just think that the last month has been so intoxicating to Cohen, I'd be stunned if he doesn't do something. And my fear is that it's going to be the wrong thing because I don't think this is a team that can win it all, no matter what they do.
What would be the wrong thing?
Well,
I mean, they're not going to be reckless. We know that. So what's the wrong thing? Bringing in the wrong piece?
Abandoning the philosophy of really replenishing the minors, which they need to remain married to.
Yeah, well, they're not going to give up anything of value from their minor league system. If they didn't do it for Juan Soto, they're certainly not doing it in season. They will be in a position, though, to take on more money. Cohen has said it, so this is not guessing. He's said it. They've alluded to it. They've said it flat out. If they have a chance to make the playoffs, they're going to go for it, meaning that if they need to take on more money, they're going to do it. That's the type of move that the Mets will be willing to make where maybe other teams wouldn't. And again, advantage king.
well, Stevie.
You were off on Friday. We let the king loose.
Oh, you did? Well, something else that was loose on the airwaves over the weekend, so you let the king loose when I wasn't here. Yeah. And apparently Hoff was telling everybody, I got a couple of tweets on this, that our guy Hoff, who was doing a show over the weekend, telling everybody Mets could win the World Series? Hoff?
Could or would?
Or will, or I mean, I want to make sure I didn't get mixed messaging here, Hoff. What exactly did you say?
There's no mixed messaging. I said that they're going to win the World Series this year.
Is it because of the OMG song got you pumped up?
Because of everything. Mm-hmm. It's everything. This team has turned a corner. And in 2015, when I was sitting there and complaining about how bad that team was, didn't expect it, I didn't enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy this moment as we rise to the World Series.
I like the analogy, BT, the example of 2015. The big difference, though, was
they had starting pitching and this team doesn't. It's certainly not like that. Now, Hoff, did you, I appreciate that. Did you clear it with, the Met Messiah, Loogie?
I thought you talked about Evan.
No.
Loogie, why would I have to clear anything by Loogie?
Well, he's the leader. Loogie, right? I mean, it's a self-anointed Messiah here.
I mean, pretty that's much. What he said the leader of the coalition, I think.
I got to be honest.
For Knick fans and for Met fans, follow Loogie. He's
just makes up his own clubs here.
The ray of positivity.
I got to be honest, I haven't heard him start talking until, after the Knicks got knocked out of the playoffs?
Yeah.
So that's the first I heard about him talking about the positivity with the Mets.
Right.
I think he missed, the whole first 2 months of the season, but that's just me.
So he jumped in a little late there?
Yeah, kind of trying to ride on my coattails.
Your coattails?
When have I wavered from this team? Explain to me.
No, I got you back. I'm exactly. saying you really haven't. I just think but the way he lumped in Loogie interesting.
The reason is
jumping
because...
Jumping on Hop's coattails.
Well, Loogie is, the future of the station.
Generational talent, some might say.
Well, that's what he says. And what station is it? He's talking about WFAN?
Oh, man. All right. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal here on The Fan. Also, Met fans, give you a chance to jump in on that. We'll get to the Yanks a little bit later. And Hartenstein lamenting to me what is going to be a big absence. I know they got a sick roster. They're going to miss him big time. Phil's in Shirley. Phil, what's going on?
What's going on, boys? Hey, Sal, I got to get at you. You keep saying Hartenstein has no offensive game and then talk about Mitch's defense. I mean, Mitch has no offensive game, and he's a liability on the court late in the game. The guy can't even shoot 50% from the free throw line, Sal.
Okay, what do you think? You're breaking news to me? Nobody ever said that he. I understand that.
I'm not breaking news.
Okay,
to
so
you,
who's.
You're
so
going to talk about one guy being on the court and then bring up the other guy saying that he does things good. Granted, he's a great rim protector. He's a very good rebounder.
Okay.
But he's a liability. And the things he does well.
No, he's not. Not with these four guys around him now.
Yes.
He's that. By the way, you don't even need him.
You know that teams are going to go out there and foul him every time. They're going to pull a Hackershack, put him on the line late in games.
Yep.
The guy can't even hit 50%.
They would do the same thing for Hartenstein.
And
he's not a great shooter.
No,
he's
better than Mitch. No way. He's shooting by at least close.
You're right. Season's over. You guys are right. Hartenstein's the greatest thing ever. I mean, Jesus. What are we talking about? The backup center, for God's sake. Phil, also, you're not understanding that the Knicks are different. They're different. Tell me, Phil, the game that the Knicks had last year with Brunson, Ananobi, Randall, and Bridges. Tell me that game. They didn't. So you needed Hartenstein to be a bigger part of the team. Oh, and by the way, BT, mm-hmm. he still doesn't have an offensive game. Could he pass a little bit? Sure. He's a good passer for a backup center. That's what he is. He has no offensive game. I know Mitch doesn't have an offensive game, but he's also a beast on the boards and one of the best big defenders in the league. Hartenstein's not.
Okay, so I would say it this way. Two quick points. Number one, what Mitch is good at, he's great at. Right. Nobody's denying that.
Right. And you
blocking
know,
shots, my offensive rebound.
My philosophy great. In all sports is that I love those guys. Obviously, if you could have somebody that's great at everything, sure. But you generally can't. So let's just say Ray Ordonez, great at defense. I'd rather have that A++ defense and suffer offensively.
Okay.
So with Mitch, I want the A+ defender, A+ rebounder, suffer offensively. If Mitch could hit free throws or have an offensive game, he'd be Shaquille O'Neal. Obviously, he's not.
Shaquille O'Neal.
I mean, my guy.
All right, so so what Mitch is good at, he's great at, but what he's bad at, he kills you at.
Right.
And like, that's, to me, like, I wish there was a little bit more of a middle. Like, I wish he was not quite Moses Malone as an offensive rebounder, but he wasn't quite, you know, a fire hydrant. Okay. I think they're a little bit more balanced would be better. What surprises me about you, though, is that you're, because you've said, and you've used it a few times, backup center in Hartenstein. You are hung up on previous role.
Right.
And I'm surprised at that. Especially coming from you, though.
Because I think he's a product of this team.
Either way, I mean, most guys are products of their team. That's why they get the contracts, whatever. I mean, it's a good fit. That's why you hear the term, like, systems, whatever. But, like, roles are made to be redefined. Otherwise, you'd still be on the overnights or in the minor leagues, as you say. Mm-hmm. And I might still be down the hole doing, you know, national radio teak. Like, no, sometimes you just outgrow and they're like, oh, this person's better than we thought.
Right.
So just because you keep saying that Hartenstein's a backup doesn't mean that he's still a backup.
Right. Well, I mean, I think he's going to be a backup in OKC.
For $30 million?
I don't know. I mean, look at
him. He might. There's a chance he comes off the bench, but he's going to play 30 minutes a game.
All right.
He's going to.
I mean,
you want Mitch playing 30?
So he's going to play 30 minutes a game.
You want Mitch playing 30?
He's going to be 26.
You want Mitch playing 30?
No, because I want to keep him healthy.
You want Mitch? Okay, that's another problem. You want Mitchell Robinson on the court with a minute and 3 seconds to go when you're down by 5 points against the Celtics when it's 5-on-4? Pardon me, 4-on-5? I don't.
Hartenstein's been in the league. He's been in the league 7 years, and he's averaged 18 minutes a game.
Understood.
That's off of 25 minutes a game with the Knicks this year when the team was ravaged.
Understood. And look at his per, again, I don't want to get nerdy here, but look at his per 48-minute production. So like, the jump is justified.
So you think he's going to become that next-level player? Obviously, the Thunder think in part that. Otherwise, they wouldn't have given him $30 million.
What does it tell you? So the Knicks are trying to win a championship. They're right there. The Thunder are trying to win a championship based on their young talent. They are right there. Mm-hmm. So what does it tell you that they bring him in?
Okay,
it's not like the Pistons gave him 5 years reckless money.
Right.
The Thunder, who are as well run with Sam Presti as the Knicks with Leon Rose.
Right.
Only they've done it for a lot longer with the same guy.
Well, if he was that smart, he would have had him 2 years ago on the cheap like Leon did.
That'd be okay, but, you know, I mean.
And by the way, even Leon, like, we give them credit. Hartenstein would not have been what he became this year if not for the injuries.
But that doesn't mean that he's not a terrific player.
He's done it once. Do you believe? He's
one for one.
To me, he's okay.
He's one for one.
What do you mean he's one for one? He's been in the league 8 years.
Well, you say he did it once. He did it once when he got the allotted minutes. Because now, how you get those minutes, the circumstances to me almost are less significant than what you are certainly less significant than what you do with him.
Right.
Like, I don't care how you got the job. I don't care if somebody was on the air for 15 years, and God forbid they lost their voice and they couldn't do a show, and they're like, Sal, we're at a pinch, go on the air. And you became the great. Does it really matter how you got there? It's what you do when you get there.
No, I know, but I just think we're overvaluing Hartenstein. Could he become that player?
I think you're undervaluing him, which is maddening to me. I think the Knicks, now again.
Then they should have just offered him the max money.
They couldn't, though. Yeah. They had limitations that weren't, it wasn't their fault.
Right.
Again, this is
there's no way that they could assign him, period. Like,
well, he would have had to take $17 million.
No, I understand that, but there's no way that they could have prior to that. Well, just because of where they got him or when they got him
with the bird rights. He didn't have the bird rights, and they could only go with $17 million and the second apron and all this stupid stuff that's so hard to understand, they couldn't do it.
Even if they had room cap wise, like they didn't trade for Bridges or they didn't have Randall, they still couldn't.
They couldn't. It's not that. It wasn't for lack of want. They just, the financial flexibility, they were legally is not the right word, but you couldn't do it.
Yeah. And I don't think he's a $30 million a year player, but that's
I hear you. And that's why some of the stuff over the weekend, like maybe throwing McBride, which would have bothered me, into the Mikal Bridges trade to satisfy the money, but also lose some money to get Hartenstein up to the 17 mil. So I knew that this was a massive mountain to climb. I'm not knocking the Knicks for losing him.
Right.
It's nobody's fault.
No.
He played really well. Oklahoma City valued him. They gave him a bank, a bankroll, and he cashed out. Good for him. Knicks are a worse team. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Concert time. It's summer. And little Dave Matthews is in the air. How about call the number 10? 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. That's your last chance to win a pair of tickets to see Dave Matthews at the PNC Bank's Art Center in New Jersey. Coming up on Wednesday, July the 10th. And it's all from our friends at Live Nation. To purchase tickets, visit LiveNation.com.
Anybody tour more than Dave Matthews?
I don't know, but
I feel like he's going always on tour.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if there's a market for it, get paid.
I guess, yeah.
How hard is it to do it? I mean, 30,000 people showing up, and you're going to give me $10 million to do it. I'll do it every day. Yeah, I
hear you. Popular band. I feel like they're always on tour.
Yeah, Dave Matthews.
Oh, you do?
I like him. I wouldn't say that I'm, crazy. Mm-hmm. I definitely like him, like the band. But I've heard from a few people that he doesn't really play the songs that you want him to play.
Really?
Including the one that we just heard, Coming Back.
He doesn't play that?
I've heard there's some gripes. Hmm. I don't know. Hop's the music guy.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know. I'm not a quote-unquote Dave guy at all. Right. Only thing I remember about him is when their tour bus was driving over like a bridge, mm-hmm. and they dumped their fecal matter.
Did they really?
Over people by accident?
On people?
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Good God.
Would you sell that?
Wait a second. Hold on. So what makes that story funny is that, funny and disgusting is that it dropped on people, but they were just going to dump it and kill the fish? Like, that's still nasty. People fish in that lake. I fish. No. I'm offended
by it. I fish in that lake.
You're offended for the fish.
I am.
You offended for you or the fish?
The fish. Mm. Who's going to stand up for the fish if we don't?
Mm. Yeah, but you could sell that on the eBay, the fish market or something like that. Sell it on it.
Dave Matthews,
Toilet paper.
Yeah.
Gross. And they dumped it on a tour boat in the Chicago River.
Could you imagine? That's like a scene from comedy. Okay. And just imagine that. Oh, my. It's repulsive. All right. Anyway. It's BT and Sal here. So Hartenstein is gone. The Mets. Sal believes that they've got what it takes. I think they come a little short. Well, I don't think they're going to implode. I just don't think they're a playoff team. And you're like, well, all right, why are we doing this now? Well, because it's 81 games in. It's the official halfway point of the New York baseball season. Let's get back to you guys. How about Mario in Long Beach with the PT and Sound on the Fan? Hello, Mario.
What's going on, guys? Great show as always.
Thanks,
what's up, Mario?
I got 2 points and then one thing I think the Knicks should do at the center position.
Go ahead.
Point number one is you can't have Robinson in at the end of the game because he shoots 40% from the line and they'll foul him on purpose and they'll lose games.
Yep.
So even though you were saying, Sal, you were saying earlier, don't give him the ball, they'll just foul him on purpose.
Okay. So why'd you live with it? You live with it. You figure it out. They'll figure it out.
You give him.
Not 40%.
Figure it out. Yeah. They'll figure it out.
Close game.
Oh, I mean, you want him out there defensively or not? If there's a big that he needs to shut down, he's going to be out there. If not, then they go small and they'll have Hart out there instead. They'll be fine. Randall could play the five. Then you have Randall out there.
Yeah.
You have Ed. Oh, okay. Oh, well, I solved the problem in 2 seconds. So what's your bigger issue then? Mitch on the floor in the final seconds. How are you going to do it? I think Tibbs will figure out a way. If I just solved it in 2 seconds, I think Tibbs and the Knicks will figure it out. So that problem is solved. So now what? What's your next issue?
Hold on, Mario. But you didn't solve it because who is going to stop Porzingis when he's flicking over Randall, or who's going to give a resistance to Embiid at 7'3", 297? Well, certainly not Randall at 6'8".
Well,
so problem not solved.
And
if it's Mitch, then he's on the court, which is the biggest problem to begin with, Lee.
They'll figure it out. I have no problems whatsoever with that. This happens. I mean, it happened with Shaquille O'Neal. Obviously, a little bit of different story, but he figured out a way to get through it. With Mitch, if they do want to hack a Mitch, the Knicks will figure out a strategy to get around that.
Okay, second thing is Bridges is really a 3, because that's what he was when he was on Phoenix. When he was on Phoenix, they made the championship, they had Booker and they had Ayton in front of him. That's what he's going to be on the Knicks. Randall's going to be the 2, 100%.
No, Randall's not a 2. What are you talking about?
No way, stop.
Now, you want to say Randall at... I mean, look, here's the problem. Well, it's not a problem. It's a good thing.
Mm.
On this starting 5, Bridges is the 2.
Yeah.
End of story. Now, you want to say you want to go small and have Randall at the 5?
Well, hold on. You really want your wings to be this...
Right.
I don't want to say this move was built solely to beat the Celtics, but the beauty of this move with OG and with Bridges as 2 great 3-and-D guys is wings.
Mm-hmm.
So now do you go
harder
DiVincenzo at 2 and then Randall at the 5?
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't love Randall at the 5 for big stretches against certain teams. I don't.
Well, I don't think that's going to be the starting 5.
No, it's not.
Right, but I do think down the stretch, I mean.
You better have the right matchup. You're going to get pummeled.
Well,
going up against KP or Jokic or Embiid or a big.
Well, or you have Mitch in there, and then you could go without Hart. You don't need Hart or DiVincenzo on the floor. They could figure that out, but it's a nice option to have right there. Think about this, where we were looking at a team now where DiVincenzo's an integral part of it, Josh Hart an integral part of it, playing 48 minutes a night. Now it's like, they might not even be on the floor in crunch time.
Oh, no, the options are beautiful, but now... See, they've added options, but the one spot that they have too few options at right now for me is very problematic. Not that it won't be addressed.
Yeah, and
right now.
And also, let's just say, because the show is about Hardenstein so far, because he just signed with the Thunder today, in case you missed anything, check it out on the Free Odyssey app. Let's just say that no Mitch was here. The Knicks were able to trade Mitch and sign Hardenstein. Okay, I know it couldn't happen, but let's just say that they could.
Yep.
This is the same issue. Like, do you want Hartenstein on the floor?
100%.
Why?
Because he's much better.
In place of who? Better what? Defensively?
In place of Mitchell Robinson.
He's stopping Porzingis or Jokic?
Better than Mitchell Robinson.
First of all,
nobody's stopping those guys.
Like,
stopping.
But who's got a chance to slow them down? Hartenstein versus Mitch? No way.
Hartenstein's much better moving his feet 30 feet away from the rim. It's not even close.
Mitchell
Robinson's clunky.
Hartenstein can't defend.
Oh, Sal, you're sleeping on this guy.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
He's not a good defensive player. And then
you're
going to say, okay, well, they're going to foul Hartenstein. Okay.
He's actually a really good defensive player. Sleeping on him.
No, he's nowhere near.
See, here's the thing.
Nowhere near.
You're focusing on the defense, which I get, but I look at Hartenstein as, they're going to miss him with the offense.
Right.
How did think about what Jalen Brunson does. How many times did Jalen Brunson come and either rub off a screen or do a handoff with or give? Mm-hmm. Hartenstein was in the middle of all that, and that's now gone. I'm not saying you can't coach around it, but it's a different look. Tommy's in Belmar. Tommy, BT and Sal, how are you?
All right.
Let's go,
Tommy.
Yep,
here's my thoughts, guys.
Here's my thought. Yeah. You guys remember Matt Flynn?
Yeah.
Okay. Six touchdown passes, one game.
Oh, Green Bay.
For Green Bay,
who,
right?
Who was Flynn? Am I thinking Johnny
Green
Flynn?
Bay. When he had the
no,
six.
No, I know, but who was that?
Yeah, Rodgers gets hurt, right?
But Doug Flynn, the old man.
He plays the game of his life, gets a bag of money out of the NFL. Mm-hmm. Once the expectations are there, Hartenstein is not going to be the player he was for the Knicks.
Why not?
Because they can expect expectations. Most people cannot handle them, dude. They just can't.
Okay.
You know, that guy wasn't supposed to be anything.
Oh, but he is.
As Sal was saying, for 8 years, he's been not. He's really not.
Well, Jalen Brunson.
When he's
Jalen
have to
Brunson
play,
was. Hold on. Tommy, wait. Tom, hold on. I don't want to scream over each other, but. To me, talking about like what somebody was supposed to be is the most irrelevant conversation anybody could have. It's about who you become.
I understand what you're saying, but I've seen a lot of players over the years who, you know, when you're the backup quarterback and all of a sudden you're thrust into the limelight and then all of a sudden you get a deal from another team.
Yep.
Any sport, baseball, football, basketball, all of them. And all of a sudden, then the expectations are on you. You don't live up to them. It's too hard.
Yeah. I don't think it applies here.
I don't think
me neither, actually.
I don't. Not, it doesn't apply here. It's not like he's going to OKC. They got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's one of the five best players in the NBA. He's going to be able to transfer what he did with the Knicks and do there. Like Flynn, I think that was with Seattle, and that's when Russell Wilson beat him out right away in training camp. Like he got a big bag because he threw six. And he's right, point of reference with the Packers, six touchdowns. I think was the last game of the year or penultimate. And you know, expectations. Oh, this guy, man, he can fling it. Oh, he plays with the Packers, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. You know, no, he's a scrub.
That's not what this is. This
not
is totally
even close.
Different than that.
It's a loose analogy that doesn't fit for
Hartenstein could be turning into a player here. First of all, there's nothing the Knicks could do about it, okay? There's nothing they could have done about it, and you can't blame Hartenstein, even though he wanted to stay. Nothing you could do about it blaming him for taking more money. But my overall point is finding a replacement for him is not going to be that difficult. Where if you needed to find a replacement for anybody else on this team, it would be challenging. Good luck going to find a defensive player the caliber of Mitch Robinson and rebounding skills. Good luck finding a player to replace Julius Randle. With Hartenstein, you're looking for the Knicks, a backup center who could pass the ball a little bit. Like, that's really all that he did.
Yeah, but hold on a sec. So, you know, find somebody that could replace Mitchell Robinson. All right, again, he's going to miss 30 games. So I think that's kind of easy, even though what he's good at, he's great at, as I said. And find somebody to replace Randall. I mean, if OG doesn't rip his hamstring, they're going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals without Julius Randle.
Right.
They beat Embiid without Randle.
Okay.
So they did replace him.
Right. No, they didn't.
They did, though.
They didn't. They needed scoring desperately to a point where they lost to a Pacers team that they're better than. They should have beaten the Pacers every day of the week. If Randall were there, they spanked the Pacers. I think the Knicks are loaded up now. And by the way, the East has gotten better. So it's not just going to be the cakewalk to go take on the Celtics. All of a sudden, the Sixers now adding Paul George. So people are excited about that. I would not have made that move myself. But you know, Paul George, 34, you're chasing a superstar. Good luck with that, Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what's going to happen with the Sixers this year. I don't know. Maybe another second-round exit at best.
What's the nickname?
Semi-Sixers.
There you go.
Yeah, but anyway, it's not about them.
Orlando's young and upcoming.
Yeah, point is, teams are deeper in the East. It's not going to be a cakewalk. Knicks need to be loaded, and they are. Without Julius Randle on this team, I don't think the Knicks have a chance to be a championship team. Right now, I do, even without Hartenstein.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, BT and Sal back here on The Fan. Strowman was a little gangster on Friday night, huh? I got to tell you, I loved it. I don't know if it was John Boy. Somebody had a full breakdown of what he was saying.
Right.
And there were two things. There was the
come on, bro, throw the damn ball or something like that?
Yes. The double play was the first one.
Right.
This is Strowman going back to Friday night when he was angry at Gleyber Torres. That double play, a little slow to develop for his taste. And then there was a ground ball to the left of Gleyber Torres that he didn't get that I thought he probably should at least gloved. He didn't, whatever. and Strowman was irate, and I absolutely love that. Now, this doesn't propel...
Showing up as teammates? Oh, you love that?
For Torres, yes. Yes. You know why? Because that's exactly what was wrong with the Yankees up until... Now, they're not perfect, and I don't think they're a World Series team right now. So, just because they found a way to hit a couple of home runs and knock around a bad Toronto team a couple times the last few days and salvage a series split, does I'm not changing my tune on what the Yankees are. If they don't make a big trade for a big, impactful bat, they're not winning the World Series. I said that last week, and I still believe that. But how they are different, Sal, is that last year that wouldn't have gone down. And I think that that's so paramount to, provided it's handled properly afterwards, which it was, where Stroman was the first out of the dugout to greet Gleyber Torres when he went yard, and Aaron Judge went over to Marcus Stroman to talk to him like a great captain should and let him know.
We don't do that here.
We don't do that here. Let's take it easy. To what Stroman said post-game, I thought he handled it very well. That element of unpredictability and that jagged edge on a baseball team during what's otherwise such a monotonous six-month grind, it sharpens you. I'm showing up teammates. I don't. But
I think it shows bad character.
It was merited there. I think it was with merit there.
Yeah, because you don't like Gleyber Torres because he's been lackadaisical.
Well, Boone's not going to do it. Somebody's got
to
do it.
Well, then why couldn't Aaron Judge go to Gleyber Torres and say, hey, man, pick it up? Why does Marcus Stroman have to, in frustration, show that on the field in front of everybody, embarrass the guy? Who the hell are you, Stro?
Nice. One of their best pitchers. That's who he is.
Yeah, okay.
And he's having a better season, Stroman or Torres? Who's having a better season? I know, the second half swoon. I got you.
Just getting started with Stroman.
Okay, but who's had a better season?
Way, he's not going to. You think Marcus Stroman likes being talked to the way the judge talked to him?
It doesn't matter. He responded properly.
Okay.
I'm just dealing with now.
It's with Stroman.
I got to deal with something else. I'll deal with that.
It's never Stroman. It's always everybody else.
No, but Stroman was right.
It's never. How is he right showing up his teammate
that? Well, okay. Well, I'm talking about reacting
to. Like, that was bad. I'm not saying Gleyber's been good. You know how I feel with Gleyber Torres. We said the same thing. Doing it in the fashion that he did it was unacceptable.
I didn't mind it there. I'm usually so with you. You can't do that to teammates. But, and really, like, if Stroman. And I remember I was watching him.
There's a way to do it, too.
No, I agree. My son's like, why is his jersey, like, untucked? Like, he was so out of the game and ready to move on, but he stayed around to make sure he dapped. He's the first one to dap. And I thought there was symbolism there. What he said post-game was perfect. He spoke about connectivity and how we love each other. Like, I really thought that it was handled. If it was not handled, if it was like, you know, a continuation of that, then I think I would have a totally different take right now. But emotion's good. For too long, the Yankees have been emotionless.
I don't think that you're emotion good, yes. Showing up your teammate in that fashion, to me, that's not good. And I don't think that he loves Gleyber Torres if you react like that. Come on, bro, throw the damn ball like that. That is a frustration where he should be better than that and more of a leader than that to show up your teammate and not take accountability. Like, he's frustrated because it's a bad reflection of him. He wants to do well against his former team. He's worried about all that nonsense. Marcus Stroman, to me, that was an awful look. It's one of the things that you saw on display that we heard about behind the scenes for years with this time with the Mets.
The other thing that he said, too, because there was, again, the two plays, and the other one where, and maybe this is what I like more, because it's so on the money. And you know what? Somebody has to say it. He's like, you know, and he's mouthing it, and he's like, for once, show some passion, somebody get that, it was so directly connected to everything that Gleyber Torres does that drives us nuts, and in 12 seconds, he crushed it. He said it. Now,
again, he was on the field again?
This was on the field. He's like, for once, like, he's got his glove over his mouth. And he's screaming it. He's like, move, show some urgency. I'm like, wow, this guy's saying what we've all been screaming about.
You're talking about when he was in the dugout? When he was screaming in the dugout?
No, he was still on the field at this point.
When he was in the dugout, you could see he's mouthing, show a little effing intensity, bro, a little bit.
Okay, then there was two of them.
To who? To himself?
Well, but he's talking about Torres, obviously.
Yeah, I know. The one on the field I saw where the double play, that's the one we're talking about.
He thought it was a slow transfer.
Yeah.
All right,
Come on, bro, throw the damn ball.
There was more.
Okay, yeah.
Like, where he went, he got personal with Torres.
And all. Well, but did he go up to him and say it? Like, why wouldn't you do that? Why are you yelling it out loud at a frustrated little baby?
I don't know.
What are we, 15 years old? Yeah, I mean, on the field. Yeah, maybe 10-year-olds do that. You're an adult. You're in the major leagues. You got a problem with somebody. You walk up to him and be like, bro, come on. What's the deal here?
How do you know that it wasn't addressed and it was on deaf ears?
I saw him acting like a child on full display out on the field. And then Judge did what he should. So now should Judge... And when Judge is up to bat or when he's in the field, be like, come on, bro.
Nope.
What's wrong with you? Throw that pitch for a strike. Keep that pitch. Should he do that to Stroman or do what he did? Go up to him in the dugout and say, hey, we don't do that stuff here.
Well,
that's how he did it, like a man, like an adult, like a leader.
He did it like a captain.
Yes.
And my answer to that directly, no, that's not how Judge should do it because that's not Aaron Judge's M.O. That's not his temperament. That's not his demeanor. Marcus Stroman's always been tightly wound. And you need a couple of David Wells, Roger Clemens. You need a couple of guys like that. Everybody doesn't have to be a priest.
I like the emotion, but showing up your teammate to me in that fashion from a guy who's had selfish behavior patterns throughout his career, that was a little much. And I don't think it's going to do, I think it'll do more harm than good for the Yankees moving forward.
888-808-1019, Speed T and Sal. I'm generally always like a staunch supporter in unity and keeping things inside and, you know, take pride in being a foxhole type. I know you do as well. Maybe it's just my disdain for Torres over the years. Admittedly, blurring what I generally would chastise. But in this situation with that player who has done this for years and it's gone unchecked, finally somebody did something about it or said something about it. Stevie's in Kew Gardens. What's going on, Steve? How are you?
How are you, Brandon?
Hey, Steve.
From every team he played with, the Mets, Toronto, and Chicago, it's been like that.
Okay.
And?
He's not good in the clubhouse.
You know, Steve, first of all, that's an aspersion that you can't possibly prove. I mean, it's a regurgitation of what some people have said for years. But what I've heard about Stroman is that he is a good teammate. Actually, a great teammate.
He's not. A lot of players don't like him.
All right, Steve. I mean, I got you. So you don't like him that much.
I'm not saying that he's a bad teammate or not. I don't know. I'm not a teammate of his. But I know that he wears himself very thin in clubhouses, whether that's with the team, whether it's with the managers or coaches or just the organizations in general.
Well, think about this, Sal. And
I mean, I've heard.
I'm not pushing back on that. Yeah. I get it. He's an interesting personality.
And I always liked Stroman. I was always a fan of his.
Mm-hmm.
Fields his position well.
Great fielder.
We're both passionate people, so I respect his passion and emotion and all that stuff.
No doubt.
I don't think it was a good look for Stroman to do that.
I got you. And again, almost every other situation, I would totally co-sign what Sal's saying. I think the way you have to understand, so it's not only that it's Torres, but it's also the way the Yankees have looked.
Mm-hmm.
They've been getting their teeth kicked in repeatedly, giving up 9, 10, 11 runs, feeble offensive showings, you know, lackluster, almost apathetic approach to baseball. And I love the fact that a guy who's probably got, you know, well over $130 million in his bank account isn't just collecting his money. He's like, Marcus Stroman wanted to be a Yankee his entire life. He's on the Yankees, and he's not taking it lying down.
Right.
That they look this bad. I respect that. Again, it's a deviation from what I always subscribe to. But for everything, this situation, I'm good with it.
If I'm Gleyber Torres,
mm-hmm.
the next time Stroman gives up a base hit, a homer, hit somebody, I'm going to on the field then say, come on, throw my hands up like this. Come on, bro. Couldn't you throw a better pitch than that? That's what you come up with? And what if he did that?
He could do that, and he wouldn't have
he
wouldn't have an ounce of self-awareness because there is nobody that watches the Yankees or I would even say inwardly affiliated with the Yankees that would say you've earned the latitude to react that way. Right. Now, some might say Stroman has it just because it's unprofessional.
Well, that's the point. I'm not saying what he said was wrong.
No, I hear you. But there's nobody who can say, Gleyber, you've earned the right to do that when you've been half-assing it for the last 5 years.
But that's just who he is as a player, and the Yankees know this, and it's not Marcus Stroman's business.
That doesn't mean
Stroman's
got to accept it when he's on the mound, though.
He doesn't, but there are ways to do it. Like, go to him. Marcus Stroman has known Gleyber Torres for months now. now. Yep. He couldn't go up to him and be like, hey, man, why don't you play with a little more passion?
But you're
energy?
Assuming that he hasn't. Maybe he has.
Well, I know what I saw.
I know.
Like,
let me ask you this, Sal, and I don't know this to be true, but what if Strowman has once or twice on the plane over a drink and during the bat, you know, Strowman's out there fielding grounders because he was a great, you know, great shortstop growing up. Yeah, I'm sure he's out there mixing up with the position players all the time, having fun. I'm sure he's cozied up to Glaber and had a little chat. What if you knew, and we don't, but what if you knew for a fact that he's already tried it and it just hasn't been received?
Yeah, I would also say
would it change your opinion a little bit?
Not at all. Because he still showed him up.
Because you've said to me twice now, well, do it behind closed doors. What I'm saying is, what if he did and he's still not responding to it?
You need to do it that way on the field?
If he's not responding.
Yeah. I mean, look. Clearly, Strowman did something wrong because Judge had to go over and talk to him. And Judge wasn't going over there talking to him in a friendly, loving way.
Mm-hmm.
Judge went over there and got his message across. We don't do that bleep here, bro. We don't do that here. That's not a nice, friendly, like, yo, Stro, my boy, we're good to go.
I agree with that.
He went over there.
Yep.
Don't do that here.
It was
we
direct.
Don't accept that
he wasn't, messing around. Okay,
it should be. Good for him.
100%. And I'm not saying he hasn't, and I don't want to put all this on Aaron Judge's doorstep because he's amazing at everything in life. But Aaron Judge, if you don't accept Strowman doing that, why don't you get in Gleyber Torres' ass and tell him you don't accept him loafing around the baseball diamond?
Well, that's something that I would assume.
Now, that should be Aaron Boone's job and not Aaron Judge's. But if it's Aaron Judge's job or within the parameters of the captaincy to admonish and call out Strowman for doing that, well, then do the same thing with Gleyber Torres, who you've known for 5 years.
The one thing I will say, BT, I think it's a great sign that we know this because of Judge, but usually the best clubhouses police themselves.
Yep.
And Boone doesn't even have to say anything to Strowman when Judge takes it upon himself without being told to do it, without it feeling forced or uncomfortable. Judge didn't give a crap. He went up to him because he saw something wrong that ticked him off, and he took care of it.
Yep.
That's what you want in a leader.
Yeah, no, that inner policing is paramount, but it would have been nice if it was policed out 3-4 years ago by the manager.
Right.
I do keep coming back to that. Alex in Manhattan, BT and Sal on the Fan. What's going on, Alex? How are you?
How you doing, BT and Sal? Bud. First of all, again, congratulations. Awesome job. I miss you at nighttime, Sal, but I love to hear you in the daytime. Because I know you worked the whole life to get there, you too, BT, from coming national.
Thank you, Alex.
That being said, BT, Sal, with you, in the future, I got some receipts with the Yankees, some stuff that you said, but that's not for now.
Right.
I got you coming in September. So, BT,
yeah.
I have to watch my wordings and how I'm going to critique you because I respect you so much, BT.
Okay.
But I'm perplexed that you being a leader, you being a coach, you're going to say that you're going to allow this on the field because it's Torre? It doesn't matter who it is. You don't allow a teammate to show anybody up.
No, it does matter.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if what they do, it takes in-house and you don't embarrass the team. I'm with Sal. If I'm Torre, next time he hits a bunt, I'm going to have my hands up. And the kids that are listening to you, BT, and parents, how you think that we're going to take this? When you kind of wishy-washy on when this type of
Listen, first of all, I appreciate the pushback, and I do agree. What I'm saying is very out of character, certainly for what I mean. Come on, you make it seem like I'm coaching the minors.
It's out of character.
It is out of character because I'm a team person. But there is, for me, there is a point of just unacceptance. And when it happens continuously, and there's an attempt to police it privately and the right way, and it never changes.
Let's get rid of them. We are going to. I don't like him. I don't like Torre. I'm Dominican, and I support all my Dominican players, and I support all players, but I can't stand Torre.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a coach, and I can't stand because he's like a Decio. He don't show like he cares. He's happy that he's here making the money and going about it. But that doesn't give me the right
so
to
let me ask you this, Alex. Okay, hold on. Okay. Let me give you a different example because it was so, you know, in your face and so easy to interpret what was said. Let's say, thanks for the call. I love the pushback, and I know you're a big fan of the show, so thanks for making that call, buddy. Let's say, who's a guy? It really doesn't matter, but let me put, you know what? I'm going to put Gleyber Torres back on. I'm going to put Torres on first base, all right? And DJ LeMahieu hits, which I guess will be his second extra base hit of the year, hits one down the line, off the wall, a play that Torres, who's average speed, maybe a tick better when he actually runs hard, should easily score on. But he gets a bad read, and he's not busting hump, and he either gets thrown out at the plate, or they gotta tap the brakes at third because he was not locked in, and he should have scored, and he did not. Is it okay to now say in the dugout, dude, why weren't you running? I mean, what's the difference?
In the dugout, take him down to the clubhouse, that's fine. On the field, the way that Stroman did it to me was unacceptable. Also, Marcus Stroman is not a leader. I'm sorry. He's not a leader on the team. He shows that in his actions. Also, he's been here 3 weeks. Like, he comes in and thinks he's going to start doing that. And the way that he did it, that's what the captain said.
Hey, somebody's got to kick him in the ass.
Yeah. I mean, the captain gave Stroman a nice little kick in the ass.
He did. And Stroman responded well, which is why I don't have an issue
with
it. Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, initially responded with it well.
Stroman's been a guy that's been known to hold on,
keep receipts here?
Well, I don't think he's letting that one go as easy and just saying, you know what, I was wrong. Now, I hope he does. I hope he proves me wrong, and that's the case.
Okay.
I don't believe that will be the case.
888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal, Brandon, Teddy, Sal, the Cotta Show. Coming up, top story of the day, the crown. Little Hartenstein, little Mets, little Stroman, Torres, BT and Sal on the fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.